don't we all open our Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, which is found on page 1007 in your pew Bibles. Proverbs 16, verses 4 and 5. But before we read God's word this morning together, let's go to Him in a moment of prayer. Well, Lord Jesus, we come to you in prayer this morning hour, and we ask, Lord, that you would guide us now as we study your word. Help us to draw closer to you and understand clearly what you're teaching us out of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 16, verses 4 and 5. Let's read the word of the Lord together. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I'm confident this morning that each of us knows what it's like to feel discouraged. Am I right? Have you all had the opportunity in your life to feel discouraged from time to time? You know, when things don't go the way we've planned them, it's easy to become discouraged. Maybe if a loved one or yourself has gone to the doctor and you've gotten a report back and it wasn't the news you wanted to hear, you've been discouraged. Maybe for the young ones of us, I can still remember this, when I would get my paper back, a test or a paper or something back from the teacher, and I didn't get the score that I was hoping to get on that particular assignment, I felt discouraged. I think all of us, like I said, for one time or another, knows what it feels like to be discouraged. I think there's things for us in each day where we can sometimes feel discouraged. Maybe it's when we observe, you know, what's happening in our society. We see the rioting that's taken place, the violence that has been on the increase, the frustration that people are experiencing. We've heard the political rhetoric that is pushing people towards not trusting one another and ramping up oftentimes some of these things in our society, and we get discouraged, don't we? And when we're discouraged as Christians, when things are bothering us, we begin to see or think, well, it looks to us as if evil is winning. Have you ever thought that way before? You look at all that's happening around you in the world and you get so discouraged, you think, it seems like Satan is winning and righteousness and godliness is losing. It bothers us when we begin to look at what's happening in the world around us and it seems to us that Satan's got the upper hand. And oftentimes that happens over a course of time and we get more and more discouraged. Well, I want to be honest with you, we're not the only generation to feel that way. All throughout history, people have felt that same way, and they wonder why. Why is what is happening happening? Or people wonder, who's really in charge? Who's in control? But we need to understand this about discouragement. Discouragement is a tool of Satan. Satan wants you and I to be discouraged. He absolutely wants me to be discouraged and you to be discouraged. And the reason why Satan wants us to be discouraged is because then we tend to give up. And when we give up, we stop fighting, we stop living, we stop doing the things that lead us to life. Satan wins when we're discouraged. And the reason why Satan wins when we're discouraged is because when we're discouraged, we're distracted from one important thing, and that is truth. It's true. Think about yourself when you're discouraged and the things maybe you say to yourself when you're discouraged. It really does distract us from what is true and what is real. I can remember doing poorly in a college class. I can remember doing poorly in school classes. I can remember experiencing something and feeling bad. A couple life-changing events in my life is when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and I can remember my feelings when we got that diagnosis. I can remember my feelings when my cousin Todd died in a car accident when I was 20 years old and he was 23. I can remember how I felt, and I can remember those feelings of discouragement, and I can remember being distracted from truth in those moments in my life. And I can remember being extra hard on myself in those moments of life. So what do we do when we're discouraged? I mean, I don't think it's bad for us to ask these questions. Who's in charge? Who's in control? But I want us to think about those questions. That first part of that question we ask, who's in charge when we're discouraged? Proverbs 16:4 speaks to that. It teaches us, if you still have your Bibles open, that the Lord works out everything for his own ends. You see that in there? The Lord works out everything for his own ends. That means that everything works out according to the Lord's purposes. Meaning, God's in charge. I want us to think about that. That fact is incredibly important for you and I to accept. That God is in charge. Even though things don't seem to be working out the way we think they ought to be working out, God is absolutely in charge. Even the wicked things, the things that of wickedness that happen, aren't going to change God's intended purposes. God's plans and purposes will come to fruition. That's the message that we see spoken of here. In Proverbs 16:4, the Lord works out everything to his own ends. Whatever it is, his plans and purposes are for our own good. And we know that he loves us, and he has demonstrated his love for us in an incredibly powerful way. He went to the cross, died on the cross for my sin and for all of yours and for sins of the whole world. I don't know of another way. He lets us escape the punishment. He took that punishment on himself, the punishment you and I deserved. I don't know of another way to show love in a more concrete way than God saying, I'm taking it all on me. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He sacrifices himself on the cross so that you and I can live. There's nothing in this world, no evil, that is strong enough to overcome God's power, authority, and might. And that is so important for us to grasp. The war has already been won, folks. Now, we might be discouraged, but we don't have to be worried, and we don't have to be concerned that evil is winning, because it is not. There is no point in allowing ourselves to be overcome by discouragement and believe that evil is in charge and cause us to live in fear, because that isn't necessary, because we know that God is absolutely in charge. Now, that doesn't mean we aren't going to go through some unpleasant things in life. We absolutely will. Because we live in a world that's full of and affected by sin. But that shouldn't have us be losing sight of this fact, that God is absolutely in charge. Now, I know there are times in my own human nature, and probably in your human nature as well, where it looks to you like good and right and wholesome things are being overrun by things that aren't. And that tends to leave us feeling paralyzed, because Again, when we're discouraged, we lose sight of truth. We lose sight of the facts. We lose sight of what we know for sure. And that is that God loves us and that He is absolutely in control of all things, which is our second part of that question. Who's in control? When we're discouraged, when we're down, when we're frustrated, that's the other part of the question that we ask. Well, who's in control? What does the Bible have to say about that? Way too often we see people in our world taking advantage of each other and mistreating one another. We've all witnessed in our lifetimes genocide. We've all witnessed in our lifetimes human trafficking. We've all witnessed in our lifetimes chemical and biological weapons being used against other human beings. And that's discouraging, and that's frustrating. We wondered, why does all this evil exist in this world? We often do a great job as human beings of pointing the finger of blame at one another, don't we? Well, it's their fault, or it's their fault that these things are happening in the world around us. If they wouldn't be doing this, that, or the other thing, then things would be better. And we point these fingers of blame at one another. But does it do anything to point the finger of blame? The other thing that happens is sometimes we look around in the world in which we live and we see all that's going on and we see the mess that's happening and we get frustrated. We get angry. And we wish things were different. But does wishing things that are different change anything? You know, all of us get tired of the pain and the suffering. All of us get tired of the hurt and the distress that we see around us. That's when it is really important for you and I to remember that God is in control. And that as God sees all that's going on in the world around us, He's disappointed too. You know, He didn't create us to live like this. He didn't make this world to interact with one another the way the world interacts with each other. God created this world, the world in which we live, to be perfect. To worship Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. For all of us to be His people. Now, it's humanity that has chosen to sin. It's us that has walked away from God's perfect plan. It is us that has rejected truth. But sin and evil are not God's invention. They're not God's plan. And that's important for us to grasp and understand. The lives people live in this world are not as God created them to live. God didn't form us and breathe life into us so that we could be nasty towards one another. That isn't God's plan. So as we get discouraged and we wonder what's happening and we say, well, who's in charge? Who's in control? We have to remind ourselves that, hey, we're not. We're not in control. And when we try to be in control, that's the reason for our suffering. God sent into the world the solution to our problem. We said that earlier. It's Jesus Christ. He's our solution to the problem. God promises us in verse 5. Look at verse 5 if you have your Bibles open. Look at the promise that God gives us. Proverbs 16:5 says, "The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished." Evil will not go unpunished. Don't be discouraged. Now, we have to also see this and understand that what God is saying here in Proverbs 16:5 isn't a threat. Now, sometimes we can interpret these things as threats, like, oh, if I sin, then God is going to punish me. That's not what this is about. Yeah, unrepentant sin will absolutely be punished in every person's life. But understand this, If we've repented, God is not intending on punishing us because God forgives us. I mean, he removes our transgressions as far away from us as the east is from the west. Think about that. If you and I decided to go east, would we ever get west? No, probably not. Well, what if we all went west? Would we ever get east? Would going west ever end? Absolutely not. It's a continuum, and God removes our sins from us, the Bible tells us, so far that we can't even fathom how far away he removes our transgressions, our sins from us. Isn't God a great God? So we have to understand what's being said here. It isn't that God is saying, I'm going to get you. What God is saying is unrepentant sin, the evil that exists in this world, is not going to get away without being dealt with. Satan is not going to continue to perpetrate evil in our world forever and ever and ever. God is going to deal with evil. And we have seen this in our lives, haven't we, people? That God deals with evil. Because God knows and sees our frustrations. And he wants us to know that he is absolutely in control. And evil doesn't win. Remember the book of Revelation we just studied not that long ago? The whole point of the book of Revelation is that God wins in the end. That evil doesn't win. Satan is going to be dealt with. He's not going to be successful in supplanting God. And that's the good news. Here's what I know. We have seen God rescue the oppressed and deliver those that call upon his name. In fact, if you read the Bible from cover to cover, you'll see a multitude of examples of how God delivers the oppressed, how God delivers those that are suffering. Time and time again, God sees what's happening in our world, and he delivers those that call upon his name. That means if we find ourselves at a place where we're discouraged this morning because of all the things we see happening, don't lose heart. God is God. Instead, take those concerns to God. Plead your case to God in prayer. Ask him to address the unrighteousness that you witness and strengthen you and the church. Ask God to intervene for the injustice and the suffering that you witness, because only God can address those things. It's true. If we try to intervene in our own human strength, then we can sometimes just end up joining in the injustice and the problems. We need to be guided by God. What struck me as I've been reading through the Bible with many of you this year is, as I'm reading through the Bible and I'm reading the Bible stories in the Old Testament, is how God fights for the people of Israel. And yeah, the people of Israel, they go to war and they go and they march out. Absolutely. But oftentimes, always, in fact, God wins for them. God intervenes. God does something in the battle so that the people of Israel are saved and the other stronger armies are defeated. God is a God who delivers. And we need to be asking him in his great love for us to do what's not only best for me, but best for all of us and best for our entire world. That's what we need to be asking God for when we go to him in prayer, when we're feeling discouraged. Because God delivers his people. So instead of being discouraged today, God wants something else for us. And it's easy to get discouraged. Any of you felt discouraged in the last year and a half? Raise your hand. I see a lot of hands going up. I have. I mean, if you haven't felt discouraged, just go home and turn on the news. That's all you need to do. Just turn on the news. You'll feel discouraged in just a few minutes, or you'll feel anxious, or you'll feel frustrated, but you'll have some other feeling than, gee, I'm hungry for dinner. You'll have some other kind of feeling if you do that. Now, I'm not advocating for that because I don't like that feeling, and maybe you don't like that feeling either, but I'm saying there's a lot going on in our world today. There's a lot in the news. There's a lot happening that can easily get us discouraged. And God doesn't want you and I to be discouraged this morning. In fact, He wants us to be encouraged. God wants you and I to be encouraged. So why does God want us to be encouraged? Proverbs 19:21 tells us, here's reason number one why we can be encouraged. God's purpose is what prevails. God's purposes prevail in this world. Whatever we might be facing, whether it seems good or bad to us, it's all going to work for the good of those who love Him. Boy, you know, that's really hard to grasp. I mean, when things are good, that's pretty good. But when things aren't good, that's hard to hang on to, that all things work for the good of those who love Him. I know there's been times in my life, and I shared a couple of those with you, where it was really hard for me to grasp that truth, that God's plans, God's purposes, God's will prevails. And when my cousin Todd died in the car accident, that profoundly affected me in ways I still can't tell you. I think about how many times I drove over that particular spot in the road. And there was a spot, by the way, for 20-some years. Finally, O'Brien County repaved that particular tar road. And the spot that his car left from the fluids is gone. And I don't know how many times I drove over that particular spot when I lived in Archer, but it wasn't that far from where we lived. And I passed over it many, many, many times. And so when I say it had a profound effect on my life, it had a continuously profound effect. I still think about my cousin. And I think about this statement that God makes, that everything works for the good of those who love and serve Him. I think about when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and that first time, and how I felt, and watching how my dad and mom and my sisters felt, and I wondered, how is this work for the good of those that love Him? I think those are honest thoughts. I'm seeing that maybe a few of you have had some of those same kinds of thoughts. But here's what I know. While those particular circumstances in my life were anything but good, I don't know that I would put them in that category whatsoever. What I have seen happen in my life is how God has shaped me in the midst of those. And how God and I have drawn closer together in the midst of those difficult circumstances. And how God has brought good into my life in the midst of those terribly difficult and painful things. That's what this verse is talking about. God's purposes prevail. Evil can throw everything it has at us. God is for us. We will suffer, we will struggle, we will have pain, absolutely. We will be frustrated, sure. But that doesn't stop God from loving and caring for us, from strengthening us. And both of those moments I mentioned in my life have been strengthening for me in my walk with God, because I've learned to lean on Him so much more. And they're not the only instances in my life. There are so many others. I can tell you that over the course of the last year, I have learned to lean on God even more than I did before, and maybe that's true for some of you as well. God uses moments in our lives that aren't good, and He brings good out of them, meaning He draws us closer to Him. In moments of pain, yes, God is absolutely there, and He uses not only moments of pain, but moments of joy to strengthen our walk with Him. No matter what we might be facing today, in the end, it's God who absolutely loves us. And it's in Him we can find our help. Here's what else I know. God doesn't make a promise that He doesn't intend to keep. If you want to argue with me, that's fine, but then I want you to find a biblical example of a promise that God has made, like this one we have up on the screen. God's purpose is what prevails. Find me a biblical example of God making a promise that He doesn't keep. Every promise God makes, God's kept. Now, there are maybe some promises, like God promises to return again. Yeah, I know you were. Some of you were thinking that. Oh, I got the pastor. We're going to Revelation. You think God's not going to keep that one? Look at all the ones in Scripture that He's kept. God is absolutely going to keep His promises. We've seen in Scripture where God keeps this promise in other people's lives. And why would God keep this promise in one person's life but not the next person's life? That's not how God works. When God makes a promise to all His people, God keeps His promises to all His people. God alone has a plan that leads to life. That's the second reason why you and I can be encouraged this morning. God has a plan that leads to life for us. So we need to learn to focus on God's plan. He is watching over us. He is leading us. And He's leading us to the way of eternal life. So we need to be focused on His plan, not on the world's plan, not on our own plans, not on somebody else's plan, but God's plan alone. Now, here's a question. Are we encouraged by God's love for us? Are we encouraged by the fact that God has plans for this world and for our lives? Do we live that way? If the answer is yes, do we live encouraged? That's why the Bible tells us that we don't need to be a reed swayed by the wind, because God is our God, and God empowers us to stand strong in the face of whatever it might be, because there's nothing that happens in our world that is bigger than God. There's nothing that happens in our world that God can't handle. And God's message to all of us is this: we can trust Him, because God has no hidden agenda. God has revealed to us all that He intends, that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God wants to save us, that He wants us to be His people. He wants what's best for me. He wants what's best for you. In fact, He wants what's best for all people altogether. That's God's desire. And that's why we can say that God's plan leads to life. And He wants us to live in joy and peace in the midst of whatever it is we might be facing. Finally, here's our third reason why we can be encouraged today as we finish our time together. Romans 8 says, "Nothing can separate us from God's love." Nothing. Think about that statement for a moment. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Can you think of anything that can separate you from God's love? Nothing can. There isn't one thing. You can sit all day and ponder, but nothing is going to separate you from God's love. That's why we can live, as Proverbs 19:23 states, then one rests content and untouched by trouble. That doesn't mean that you won't experience trouble, that trouble won't come into your life, but you can rest content and unrattled, unshaken, undestroyed by trouble. Yeah, life is still going to be frustrating at times. Life is still going to be difficult at times, but it won't destroy you. You won't have to be overcome by those things because God is with you. God is for you. Don't let discouragement destroy your faith, because that's what sin wants. That's what evil wants. He wants us destroyed. Satan wants to snatch us out of God's hand. And God says, no, you cannot snatch my people out of my hand. It's important for us in closing to understand that whatever is happening, wherever it's happening, God is for us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from God's love. Not suffering, not persecution, not famine, not nakedness, not sword. Nothing, if you read Romans 8, can separate us from God's love. God is absolutely never going to abandon you and I in times of trouble or in times of joy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful that you're in control, that you're not going to abandon us, that you are telling us that we don't need to worry, we don't need to be concerned, we do not need to be overwhelmed, but we can be encouraged that you are walking with us through whatever storm we might be facing. So Lord, today, if we came with all kinds of things in our minds, all kinds of frustrations on our minds, all kinds of hurts, we want to hand those things over to you, Lord, for you to keep a deal with. Help us, each one of us here, those listening on the radio, those watching on Facebook and YouTube, help us to walk away from this moment free of those burdens, trusting in you fully and encouraged that you are at work in this world and in our lives, and that evil absolutely doesn't win. Lord, we pray that you will help us to keep the faith, to finish the race that you have marked out for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.